But you also have to stay creative. And that's where I think being partnered with an accountant has helped many of the companies that I work with, because they're able to stay creative and not let fear overcome.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals. But the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. Welcome back to Hack My Business. This is Jesse Torres, creator and host of Hack My Business. So excited to be back with all of you to talk about the wonderful world of entrepreneurship. And I'm also really thrilled because I'm joined today with Nuri Gomez, who is someone who I consider to be a core part of my team because she's actually my bookkeeper for Arroyo West, my consulting firm. Nuri is the founder and owner of Accounting Breeze, and I would say has kind of made her living on supporting entrepreneurs as they've explored their own kind of growth plans. But let's go ahead and bring her in to talk to her. Nuri, welcome to Hack My Business.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so thrilled to have you on. You know, today I know we're going to be talking about all things accounting and bookkeeping, but you know, right now we're recording, it's the middle of summer 2022. And one thing that's happening that definitely wanted to pick your brain about is that there's just so much in the news today about rising costs, you know, the threat of inflation, the threat of recession. And so I know that this is definitely on the minds of our listeners, you know, what they can do to control costs, you know, how they should be planning for an uncertain future. So I'm just really grateful that you've come on the show to help us think through some of these big questions.
For sure. I know there's so much commentary out there. But one big thing for people to always remember is, and it's always been true, that small businesses are called the backbone of our economy. So there's a reason for that. We don't have to worry.
Well, that's, yeah, definitely a great reminder. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, especially here in California, where you have, you know, over 4 million small businesses, you know, we definitely drive the economy here in this great state, but always a good reminder that, we definitely are the backbone of the economy. But, you know, Nuri, we always love to give our guests the opportunity to talk about their own pathway to entrepreneurship. So would you mind sharing with us, like, you know, how you started your business? You know, what was the incentive for yourself to create your own firm?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up on my paternal side. My grandfather in Ecuador was a merchant distributor, and then he switched to having a travel agency. So I grew up hearing my dad talking about what his dad was going through when the business wasn't so well. And if the economy wasn't going well in Ecuador, then there wasn't people traveling. And my dad also, when I was 10, he became a paralegal, and he also started running his own business. And I think for me, what stands out the most was the freedom of time and family schedule. Mm. Like all of a sudden, my dad could come to school activities, graduations, and the achievement ceremonies. And all that time he had missed them. And now my mom, he had started working with her too. So they both basically were entrepreneurs. She quit her regular day job too, and they were working together. And I think that seeing that really gave me strength. I would definitely go on to work for corporate America for a good 20 years. But my dad, when I turned 18, he made me become, and I should say he made me become, but he also asked me to become a notary and a tax preparer. And I had just graduated, and that's what I did that summer. So I was helping him sign papers for the immigrants and work on their taxes 3 years back so that he could submit that they were good citizens. So here I am, 20, I think I basically did a whole 360 to come back to this 8 years ago as my kids started growing, and I realized that I was starting to ask permission to be able to go to my children's musical activities at school and things. It just became more obvious to me for me to get the strength to go ahead and jump and make this switch, because I know that I know what I needed to do, but I also knew that I could provide and help people, the small business world, with the expertise that I already had from running a business for other people, that I would do okay. It was just a matter of taking the leap of not having that regular paycheck. Here we are, almost 10 years later, since 2013. Yes.
I think that's amazing. I love that the flexibility that you saw, you know, with your dad's profession. I love that was an inspiration, right? And, you know, that to see that up front, because, you know, what's interesting is that I remember the same thing. My dad was a small business owner himself. He had a barbershop. And one thing I always remember is that he had a different schedule from my friend's parents. You know, he was able to kind of take time off at different, you know, different days, and he didn't work Mondays. I always remember that. And I always thought that was really cool that he could kind of set his own schedule. So, you know, it's so interesting that the things you take away, right, from observing your parents when it comes to the professions, I think that's so, so interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely, that was definitely something that really made it easier. And of course, you start being like, you're sharing your own passion of what it is that you love doing in a bigger capacity, right? Like if I was working in the veterinary clinic, I was only limited to that field. Now, as an accountant, I don't limit myself to any industry. I get to help all different walks of life, and it's been really great.
That's awesome. So tell us about that. You know, how exactly do you help entrepreneurs build their businesses?
It's helping them implement their financial goals and generating more revenue and retaining profit. And what that means basically is helping them start out with a good financial foundation, which means not just running your bank account, but actually looking at your income and expenses. If you can afford a software, great. I usually start people on a small bookkeeping software like QuickBooks, but it's one of those things where if we don't meet monthly, quarterly, or yearly, I feel like people just start losing track of what they're doing. Mm. So for me, the reason I differentiate myself with other accounting firms is just because I make sure we meet with our customers as much as they want. But if I do see something happening that really needs to be brought to their attention, then I'll definitely call for a meeting. You know, like, it's time. Like, you're not meeting your goals. The goals that we started out with are not being met. Or if they are, I might be able to see something with their numbers and be able to tell them, hey, I would definitely go stronger on this area of your revenue streams.
Definitely. Yeah. For me, that raises a question around fear. Have you found that people, and I'm just really curious about this, but when it comes to financials, you know, do people come to you out of fear, like where they don't necessarily know exactly what's going on with their business, or is this something different? Because in my head, I always think of financial record keeping, at least from past experience of working with small business owners, as this kind of thing that they don't like doing it because they don't have a lot of comfort. Am I right in thinking that?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things to overcome when you first become a small business is overcoming the fear of that check, right? So after that, it's the situation of the person knows themselves, like they might know that they have no budget awareness. Mm. And they are really scared to bring that to someone. They're embarrassed. That's one of the biggest overcoming things for me. Is when I bring a client in, most of the time want to meet them in person, because once we get talking, it'll be easier for them to share a little bit more of why they're starting to think they need an accountant. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, yeah. I don't know. I just need you. I don't know. People tell me I need you. And it's like, no, I want you to understand why you think you need a financial accountant. I mean, one thing is we help you brainstorm. For small businesses, we're just kind of in the background, right? Like, I'm your CFO on demand. When you need that analysis or you need to understand what's happening in your books, I'm there. But you don't pay one full time. So that's what's cool about partnering with Accounting Breeze, is that I'm only there when you need me or as much as you'll let me be.
Right. Right. So tell me when it comes to, you know, because I think you're absolutely right. I think for many business owners, revealing what makes up your business is so, you know, it can be really daunting, right? Because one, you're nervous enough as it is, right? Especially when, if it's your first time actually starting a company, I mean, you're already nervous about your decision making. Now to have an external expert come in and evaluate your business can be really also just as concerning, right? Because you're having to reveal yourself, reveal what your operation's all about. But tell me, when it comes to like that first initial meeting where you're having that conversation, you're taking a look at their set of financials, how do you begin the evaluation process? Like, how do you understand how strong their business is at that moment? Are there certain kind of ratios you're looking at? Are you looking for any certain indicators? But walk me through that.
Yeah, we're looking for indicators as far as like, is there slow and steady growth or is there rapid growth? I'm asking about their team, who works for them currently. Do they have the skills and training for that kind of rapid growth? I'm asking if they're selling stuff, who's managing their inventory, who they're partnered with as far as hiring these contractors. Like for my small business, I have an HR manager, but I realize some people don't, and I'm like, are you sure they meet the definition of contractors? So there's a lot I can find out just from looking at a financial. And I'm coming in from a bunch of different areas, not just financially, and that's because I have the business background so that I'm able to help them avoid future lawsuits, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at the whole perspective and I'm letting them know, like, you came to me for the honesty, so I'm going to give you everything at once.
Totally. And what are those big red alerts? Like when you're taking a look at the business, what are the big red alerts when it comes to analyzing a business?
Well, it'll be the overspending. It'll be the losses in the business, right? Versus income, having so much expenses, or how are you making, like, even when you're showing cost of goods sold compared to income, I'm looking at the fact that there's a margin profit. If they're not priced correctly, there's a lot of things that can come out of this. So, I mean, I try to do everything like just how they would want me to, right? I may give you a little smile here and there, but I'm not, like, I'm still telling you the truth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we talk about their goals. You know, I try to kind of get them settled in with the idea of it's important to understand what was your goal when you first started this business. It depends how many years they're in. Also, where my questions will come. But I think that seeing that they're able to make their decisions, right? Like, that's one of the biggest things for me is making informed decisions rather than just having a feeling. Most CEOs are very creative. We want CEOs to make informed decisions and understand their financials and how they're achieving their goals. So we try to work with them with different plans, A, B, and C, and when they will also initiate. So have deadlines and start dates. But the big thing that happens with CEOs is that all their ideas are great and they want to implement them faster. And I help them ground that. I help them kind of like, hey, we need to rewind here. Like this revenue stream is not working yet in how we had planned. So we can't start plan B yet. So those are some of the things that we just try to help. We're definitely like that silent CFO on demand brainstorming person with you.
That's great. And I would say that, you know, even hearing you speak about that, you're going to come in with some intense honesty, right? I mean, you're going to provide the real information about what you're seeing relative to the strength of the business. And the one thing I'll say for the listener who might be feeling, okay, that sounds a little bit scary, is the only thing I'll say is that when it comes to your financials, just like if it was an attorney, there are certain professionals you want on your team that you don't want sugarcoating anything. And I would say that an accountant, a bookkeeper is that person where you want the honest truth about what they're seeing and how they're evaluating your business, because that will only help your business get stronger. You know, so although, sure, you know, when you first get involved with, you know, that type of professional, it might feel a little daunting. Let me just tell you that is super key to just how your operations can be grounded, as Nuri is saying, and really kind of getting you on a real strong footing. You know, Nuri, I think what's so interesting having this conversation with you at this time is that, you know, we're now 2+ years after the start of the global pandemic, right? COVID-19. And I bet that you've had to help so many different types of entrepreneurs kind of navigate through the crisis. What have you seen from those who have really been successful? You know, what has set them apart? Were there any key takeaways from your experience over the past couple of years relative to people who've really kind of figured out how to manage their finances well during this crisis?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think of my clients when everything went down, we didn't worry about our clients. They had already learned how to budget for our expenses. And to be honest, we pay for ourselves. Areas that we can help you save money or increase your revenue, we're always bringing it up. So our clients were ready with their financials in order to apply for those PPP loans and SBA loans. I mean, we did have restaurants who had to close down, hair salons that just couldn't do business. So they needed to go that direction. If we could help them even do unemployment applications, we were doing that. It was one of those situations where we knew enough about our clients that we could jump in on anything. But we also gained new clients. One of these things that we weren't able to completely be ready for, but by September, we had hired a third person because we also got new clients and they needed to catch up on all their paperwork to be able to show financials so that they could qualify for SBA loans. So yeah. What was really great is that none of our clients had to have that fear while we were accepting new clients who had a fear of how are we going to make it because we can't show that we have employees or that we can't show that we have done our taxes for the last couple years. So that was really like a eye opener for me as well. Like I felt like I'm not educating or networking enough out there, letting people know how much easier it could be to be ready for things like this. You know, just because I know, like, I know in the past, like, experience will say, like, once you've been an entrepreneur, you've worn all 21 hats, right?
Right.
You've been your own advertiser, marketing person, social media person. You've been the bookkeeper. You've been the accountant. And you think that you've got it all under control. So that's the first thing you'll cut is your accountant and your social media person or your marketing person. Not looking at the ROI on that, right? Most of my clients have already, I've got long-term clients and they've already realized that I normally, like, I do pay for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I didn't even get any cancellations during that time. If I had to give some kind of break or I wasn't charging even for the applications of PPP loans, yeah. I couldn't. If I knew the situation, there was no way I could charge for something like that.
Well, I gotta say, you know, as a current client of Accounting Breeze, you know, why I use you versus any other, you know, professional is that I know that you do have the understanding of the entrepreneur. I know that you will find ways to provide value to me. And, you know, above all, you know, you bring peace of mind. You know, for me, that has been the biggest help during, you know, this crazy time is knowing that you had an understanding of, you know, what I'm going through, my struggles. And I got to tell you, listener, that when, you know, one thing I always do to Nuri is, you know, literally the email will be like, I don't know what to do about this thing. Can you just jump in and fix it for me or figure it out, you know, or, you know, I have no shame in telling you, I tried to do this thing on my own and it totally fell apart. Can you please fix whatever I just, you know, the damage I just did to myself unwittingly? And you're always so nice and pleasant about it. You know, you just help me kind of manage through the crisis and get me back to solid footing. But it sounds like, you know, from hearing your response is that those businesses that really took it upon themselves to leverage you for all types of issues, right? Whether it was applying for PPP or, you know, using you beyond, you know, help me understand my balance sheet. They're really looking for you to guidance. It sounds like those are the ones that really did well during the pandemic because they knew they understood the value you could bring to all different parts of their business. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, absolutely. They understood they could operate confidently. They could still focus on their business and numbers. And some of them were able to pivot, right? Like, it's kind of like, wait, not all is lost.
Right.
You can still be running your other online store from home. Like, we've got you, you know, but it's really hard because that's one of the big things is like, you don't have a whole group of advisors, right? Like,
right.
like you're required to in a nonprofit, right? You have to have a board of advisors. So when you're in a small business, it's me, myself, and I, right? We've all seen that t-shirt. It's like, well, hey, I was having my own board call. I'm talking to myself. If you saw me, I'm not crazy, you know? And so it's true, like that I'm definitely somebody that someone can sound off things with and brainstorm with. I'm also a part-time professor at Pepperdine. And I always tell my students, like, there is no bad question. Like, ask it. I'm not going to make fun of you. I may smile, but that's just how I am. that's just how I take your question. But it's not like I'm making fun of you at all. Like, I just tend to do that. I like to show up simple and put you at ease.
Well, I can definitely tell there's probably been emails I've sent where you definitely have smiled at me, you know, so, but I always appreciate your graciousness. I definitely want to talk, you know, get your thoughts about, I guess, the world right now, right? Because there is so much concern about the threat of inflation and recession. You know, sometimes it's very visible, right? Like rising gas prices. Other times it's just, you're just hearing chatter on like a news station, or you're getting wind of people expressing concern about something. But what is your personal outlook? You know, you're in the industry, you have insights on things that many of us don't. So what do you see when it comes to inflation and recession?
I mean, I definitely think that there's something, right? Something's definitely going on. I don't think it's any of the above, though. Like when you look at the definition of an inflation, the prices increase every time anyways, right? Like I think right now, like even if right now you're talking about mortgage rates, they're increasing slowly. It's not like all of a sudden. So it's over a period of time. So that area, like I know that like as soon as the war with Ukraine, the oil started going up and that did affect, but everyone has already adjusted to that. I haven't seen less cars like we did during the pandemic. They're still driving. Right. So I definitely don't think that's happening. The recession, I mean, at the same time, we still have people who've saved money. I live and my office is right here across the airport. So I get to see the airplanes leaving and everyone is traveling right now.
Right.
So there's definitely people were able to use their money. They're using their stimulus money. They have excessive savings. It's all a recipe for high inflation and a recession, but none of it's really going to happen like that because a lot of companies are helping with small business grants. And so it's just about being prepared to apply for these things and having financials to support what you're trying to do. One of the things that happened with the small business loans that a lot of people got is one of the big recommendations was to invest it in technology. Right. So you need to be able to take all kinds of cash. Right. So right now that might mean that you're doing Cash Apps and different ways to take on money and receive income. But you also have to stay creative. And that's where I think being partnered with an accountant has helped many of the companies that I work with because they're able to stay creative and not let fear overcome. And the other thing that we've done to prepare during that time is hopefully, like I'm talking about, that people have reserves. You know, just like we have at home, you should have a 3-month emergency reserve. You should also have that for small businesses. That's being able to pay your fixed assets, which is your rent and your utilities. And we all need a cell phone to conduct our businesses. So we have some fixed assets that you always have to be able to afford.
So it sounds like you're not overly concerned by the chatter out there. What about, you know, for those business owners where maybe they are feeling the immediate impact of, you know, rising prices? Like I'm thinking light manufacturers, maybe people who are making products or selling products. What about them? But what can they do to help mitigate the worst of rising costs?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I had mentioned earlier was helping our clients realize, like, if they're overpaying, right? Like, if I'll notice that their merchant fees, let's say they have a different carrier than Square or Shopify or even QuickBooks is in on this market, it's one of those, like, bringing that to their attention, like, I'm almost sure you can secure lower rates. You know, and you should be constantly negotiating. You should know your suppliers and vendors. And you should know their competitors and making sure that they're giving you the best pricing. as a small business owner myself, I'm out there. I'm in competition with now QuickBooks itself. They're offering bookkeeping. I have to stay competitive. So I know what it means, but I also know where to price myself and still try to bring enough money to pay the employees and myself. And you just have to budget correctly or work with someone that can help you do the financial forecast so you could see what it would look like on your slower months.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the idea of, look, you know, one thing you can do is immediately take a look at your own expenses, right? Are you getting the best deal for the service you're receiving? Is it time to look at a competitive product, right? Where maybe you're able to, you know, get some more savings. And then also the idea of looking at your price point, you know, that's something that I did myself is knowing that, you know, certain costs are rising. I increased my own hourly rate because that was a way for me just to address that. I also do, just as you recommend, I do take a look at my expenses to say, like, do I really need that particular tool? Is it time to use something different? Is there a better way to get this service than how I'm getting it now? So all really great advice. I did want to ask you, because you are your own small business owner, how do you manage your own finances? Is it you doing it yourself? Do you have a professional? Do you use a technology tool? But how do you go about doing it?
Yeah. I keep my information on QuickBooks software as well. And I do budget and I work with my family. So my family is my soundboard. Whenever we're going to bring a new employee, I'm like, okay, here are my numbers. You know, we've had a 33% increase. I think that we're at the point where we need to hire and, you know, we'll go over the expenses. So it's interesting because I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old and they're part of all of this and they get to hear the conversations on how me and my husband speak about it and how we make the decisions. But you definitely have to have a goal, right? Like it's one of those things where you have to set those numbers and those dates. Like by a certain date, I should be able to have this much money, or I want to be able to go on this trip and this is how much it's going to cost me, and work on saving towards that. As a side note, it reminds me of clients who start out with small sales tax and how they start spending that money. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's not your money. You're going to have to pay it to the Board of Equalization, right? Or the California fee and administration taxes, now that they're called, right? So it's interesting helping clients, help them understand that in 3 months, you're going to have to pay that money. It's not your money.
Right.
And so we have to, depending on how the CEO is or how the owners manage their money, I might have to say like, hey, we need to open a separate bank account and I need to be in charge of helping you transfer that money so it's there when I need it to pay that for you. Because otherwise it gets spent. And I think that that's the same situation for people with their own finances. It's like, okay, in your case, you gave yourself a raise, or in other, like, people are getting raises. I'm hearing about it right now because we know that retaining employees is a big, big deal right now, and keeping them trained and interested, right? And helping them understand, like, okay, well, being paid at a gas station $15 an hour versus Costco at $17 an hour. Like, what else can I offer you if I still have to pay you $15 an hour, right?
Right.
So those are the things that, like, I tell people, I'm like, you can get a raise, but if you've been making money and you've been paying all your bills, wouldn't you just set a new goal with what you're going to do with this increase?
Right.
So
right.
I'm more like the goal-oriented deadline kind of person. Like, I want to save $1,000 by June or by December. Or
I like
whatever
that.
It is, you know?
Like, yeah, like milestones, business milestones for yourself, right? Driving towards certain deliverables. I like that. I also love that you bring in your family, you know, especially your kids, which reminds me of just, you know, how we started the conversation where you learned from observing your dad, right? Because I bet for them, they're getting a business education that is extremely valuable, right? The insider look at how you do budgeting, you know, how you structure your finances. I'm sure they're going to take that away with them for a long time. But no, I like that approach. They, you know, because it's funny enough, I'm thinking the same way for my own company. It's like the idea of like, oh, I should start setting certain goals, certain financial goals that are beyond make more money this year. It's things like, how much can I reserve so I can easily get to that 3-month mark of savings, right? So I think that's really good advice. You know, setting certain milestones for your business is really important. You know, I know we're coming close on time, so I definitely want to get, you know, a sense from you is, you know, what are your own goals for your firm? You know, where do you see you taking your business over the next 10, 15 years?
Interesting you asked that. My next phase of all of this for having this accounting firm and adding more employees is more about being able to continue to offer more value to our clients. And one of the things that I've noticed that's kind of gone on the wayside, or no one really understands it as a small business entrepreneur, is the metrics. So that's something that I want to like bring back to help them understand, you know, like in their industry, if they're overspending. You know, like if you have, for example, a realtor who they spend a lot of money on advertising and marketing. So that's top heavy. And then you've also got possible employees, people who are showing your houses for you to sell. You know, and this is kind of like you have to say, like, is my wages within 33% of the income I'm making or 10% of the income I'm making? Like, it depends for different industries, but I want to help our clients understand that. Because that's one thing that I haven't done is I haven't limited our accounting firm to a certain industry. We love helping all small businesses. So I think that's the next phase for us I'm going to be able to try to get this management software where I can have both my tax clients and my bookkeeping clients in one space. So again, for me, like one of the things that I like to say is like, I like to walk the same advice that I give. And so when people told me, what do we do with the SBA? I'm like, you better make sure you advance in your technologies. And me going on 10 years, that's definitely where I'm at, is having to improve and merge some of the softwares that I'm using so that we don't have to have multiple windows. And as we increase employees, then we can communicate better in one space. So definitely, I think that for our company, helping clients and small businesses be able to understand where they're maybe overspending even more, not just because I say so, right, or just because it's a percentage, but helping them understand how they compare to others in their industry.
I think that's great. I think so many people kind of don't understand that. Like, what are the right metrics to use for your own business? You know, and I just love that, you know, you're leading with that as like the growth, like what is the additional value I could bring to the client versus, you know, sometimes we'll get guests that come on who say, well, I'm just trying to get to a certain dollar amount with revenue size. But for you, it's, you know, what is the additional benefit I can provide to my clients that also proves that I walk the talk, right? So I think that's really great. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to working with you to figure out what are the right metrics for my own firm that I can start, you know, observing, analyzing, and pushing towards. So yeah, excited to see that come next for Accounting Breeze. Nuri, how can people get in touch with you? If they want to get your help and advice, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
We have a phone number, 310-363-7055 is definitely a good way to connect with our front desk. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and they can help set up appointments. But I also have an email, nuri@accountingbreeze.com, that people can write. They can look up our Google reviews, and we're on Facebook too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on Hack My Business. It's always great to chat with you. I know it's been a while. We usually connect by email, but always great to chat with you and get your insights on all things financials. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you need help and want to be a part of our community and find resources to grow your business, join us at our website at smallbusinessfront.com. We'd love to see you there. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.